And I'm very thankful to have the opportunity to stand today and talk to you about my Lord. He's my Father. You talk about church family. God is my Father. And I'm thankful that I have a good dad here in this life that helps me know in that perspective what a good dad is. One that always was there for me, still is always there for me, instructed me well. He didn't let me get away with things because he wanted me to turn out as best as I possibly could. But everything he ever did, I know that he did with love. And I'm thankful that I've got children of my own that now I can see the other side of that and experience that and understand that. And that kind of family relationship and that kind of love is an amazing thing. There's a whole lot of things about God that amaze me. That really do astound me when I take time to think about it. And it's one thing in particular about the Lord Jesus that's on my heart this morning that I pray that you'll follow along with me in Scripture and that you'll see the same thing that spoke to me. Turn to the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John chapter 1. There's a little passage here that I want to read beginning at the 44th verse. I'm going to read another one still in the Gospel of John over in the 4th chapter. And then I'll take you to Luke, to the 18th chapter. And I want to, if I can, to read to you about these three different people. And after I read each passage, and there's something that could be said about each one, but after I read each passage, I would like to tell you something in common between the three. And that's what I want to talk to you about this morning. So bear with me. Pray for me. God bless in every way. And may He receive the glory from this message. John chapter 1, verse 44. Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip findeth Nathanael, and saith unto him, We have found him, of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said unto him, Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip saith unto him, Come and see. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him, and saith of him, Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. Nathanael saith unto him, Whence knowest thou me, Jesus? Whence knowest thou me? Jesus answered and said unto him, Before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. Nathanael answered and saith unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel. Jesus answered and said unto him, Because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these. And he saith unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter ye shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. This has to be one of my more favorite passages out of the Bible. I've read it many times, and I think about it at times when I don't have a Bible in my hands and I'm just pondering Scriptures. It seems like my mind goes to this passage pretty often. It's just a beautiful moment to me, and it teaches a lot of things as well. I thought about that. I knew that I was going to read. It was already on my heart before I got up here to the pulpit, of course. And when Brother Tony was talking about the things that we envision, this passage came to my mind then, to think about the things that they saw, the things, the spiritual things about heaven and God's creation that are not just are going to be, but that are happening right now that we just can't see. I can't read this passage and not think about Elisha being surrounded by the armies of the enemy and being perfectly at peace about that, being completely calm while his servant was panicking, was falling apart, thinking that they were going to be destroyed. And Elisha said, those that are with us are more than those that are against us, and prayed and asked that the Lord would allow the servant's eyes to be opened. And he saw that there were many angels, more angels than soldiers that were surrounding them and going to protect them. And the Lord saw that scenario out as well. In fact, worked that one so beautifully that the enemy wasn't destroyed. They were blinded and led to the king, and they were protected and allowed safe passage back to their homes. God's got an amazing way of doing things. He can destroy the enemy, or He can forgive and protect the enemy if He so wills. But the beautiful thing is to know that there's so much about God that we don't see.
Amen.
There's a lot that's happening right now in this church service that we just don't have the ability to understand. Or even if the Lord opened our eyes to it, I think some of us, it would frighten us so much we'd want our eyes shut off again. I think so many of us, if we saw it, we wouldn't be able to explain it. And to know that through history, God has allowed so many of His servants at different times. Elisha had it in the Old Testament. We trust that others did in the Old Testament as well. We know Jacob laid down and had a vision of these things in the Old Testament. New Testament, we know that Nathanael was given this promise. We trust that others did as well. Paul talked about being brought up into the third heaven. John was given the opportunity to see the prophecies of the end times. So many things that they could behold because the Lord allowed them to. But to the rest of us, they remain hidden. There's so much about God that we just don't see, that we just don't know. And Jesus reveals this here. And in His meeting with Nathanael, Nathanael was full of doubt at the beginning, like Thomas. He said, "I don't believe that He's arisen. I won't believe it until I can see His nail-scarred hands." He said, "I'll have to see it for myself." And old doubting Thomas got the chance. And the Lord appeared unto them a second time, and he was able to see the scar in his side. He was able to see the nail scars in his hand. And Thomas declared his faith and praised Jesus Christ. And Jesus did a similar thing unto Thomas. And he said, "Well, that's good that you believe because you saw, but blessed be those that will never see."
Amen.
And yet will still believe. That's us.
Yeah.
He was talking about us. He wasn't just talking about us, but He was talking about us when He said that He could look through time and know that I've never seen Jesus' hands. I've never seen Him face to face, not one time in my life, but I believe in Him more surely than of many things that I have experienced and lived through. I'm trusting, holding fast to my faith in Him. Nathanael was met here by the Lord, by Jesus Christ, and of all the people that Jesus preached to, sermon after sermon, He expounded upon the Scripture. He stood in the synagogues and He read from the holy words, and he tried to explain parables unto them and to talk to them for days on end. And many of them, it didn't do anything. It didn't touch their hearts at all. Water off a duck's back, you know, in one ear and out the other, however you want to say it. They experienced it, they heard it, and it meant nothing. And they went about their lives and rejected Him. And the only thing Jesus had to say to Nathanael was that He saw him under a fig tree and He declared him the Son of God. I don't know what happened under that fig tree, but that moment, that declaration by Jesus was enough.
Yeah.
And that touched down into the deepest parts of Nathanael's heart, and he declared his faith. And by all Scripture, we understand he followed Him the rest of his life. And that history tells us about Nathanael's work and influences and his faith in Jesus. Now the other is in the fourth chapter of John, in the 13th verse. This is also familiar to you. I don't try to come preaching a new message. I never intend to. In fact, the Bible warns about the man that tries to. So this is familiar Scripture to you. John chapter 4, verse 13. Jesus answered and said unto this woman that He met at this well, this Samaritan lady that had come to the well in the heat of the day so that she could avoid having to talk to anybody. She was trying to stay away from the crowd. She was coming by herself to draw water so that she could get the water and get back home and not have to think about anything else and just go about her life. But Jesus knew exactly when she was going to be there and exactly what needed to be said. And He approached her with a divine message and an invitation unto eternal life. And He says in the 13th verse that whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. That water that comes from the well. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, "Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw." Jesus saith unto her, "Go call thy husband and come hither." Let me read on. It says, "The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that saidst thou truly. The woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet." Now read on with the rest of that. You can read before and after it. I just wanted to take that one little passage out there to make the point, but obviously that whole chapter is worthy of your time, and it would be a blessing for you to read. But what we see, if you look at it, is the woman did not understand. Any more than Nathanael understood that Jesus could come, could be born in Bethlehem and be raised in Nazareth. Nathanael knew Scripture. He understood that there was supposed to be prophecies, but he'd never heard anything about Nazareth. Can any good thing come from Nazareth? He just didn't get it. We've got so many times where that we are talking about, we don't understand, we don't see the things of God. This woman here, she just didn't understand. She didn't get it. He kept telling her about living water, about the salvation that he was trying to offer to her. She just kept getting hung up on that well water. She just kept on thinking about physical things. But Jesus knew exactly what she needed to hear. He knew the exact words that needed to be said. He knew the exact point that he needed to take her within her heart to get her to recognize him for who he was, to reach unto her soul that she might repent. And if you read on and see, she did repent, she did believe, and like we say that Nathanael lived a life of faith for Jesus Christ after that moment of the testimony of the fig tree, this woman's experience that she had with Jesus never left her, we can trust. She went into the town, she declared her faith unto him, she tried to get others to come and to see about him, to hear what he had to say, and no doubt I trust that she was a wonderful witness for Jesus. I have no doubt also that she made mistakes. Nobody's perfect. I'm not saying that. But this lady had a change in her heart, and she carried that with her. But Jesus, He knew who she was, knew where she was going to be, and knew exactly what needed to be said to touch her deep within her heart and soul. Now, go to Luke. I said we'd go to the Gospel of Luke chapter 18 is where I'd like to take you there. Luke 18:18. Now, the first two examples were wonderful. Beautiful examples of people that were touched by Jesus and that came to faith. Nathanael, that fig tree, touched him. This lady, when she realized that Jesus knew her sins, that got her serious. Mm-hmm. And that brought her to where she needed to be. And I wonder sometimes that if on top of the fact that he knew what was going on with her, if she didn't realize that even though he already knew that, he was still offering her salvation. Now that speaks to me. You know, and I've mentioned this, it hadn't been maybe a week or two ago in the pulpit here that the Lord saved me when I was 9 years old. And you know, what can a 9-year, how bad can a 9-year old be? But he knew how bad I was going to be my whole life. He knew what I was capable of. He knew the corruption in my heart. And yet he offered me salvation anyway. That should speak to us to realize that the Lord, He loves us how we are. Mm-hmm. Now this third example in the 18th chapter of Luke didn't turn out as well for the one that was witnessed to, but it still speaks to the whole thought. So a certain ruler asked him, saying, "Good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said unto him, "Why callest thou me good? None is good save one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments: do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother." And he said, "All these have I kept from my youth up." Now, that could be a whole other discussion on whether you believe he was telling the truth or not, but we won't get into that. Now, when Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, "Yet lackest thou one thing. Sell all that thou hast and distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me." Now, in the message about Nathanael, he repented and declared Jesus' goodness. In the instance with the woman at the well, it took some work. It took some extra effort. She didn't respond right away, but she finally did. When she finally got pierced down into the marrow of her bones, as you might say, she repented and she believed. Of all the things that this young man needed to hear, of all the barriers that he had between him and God, of what would ever keep him from faith, Jesus Jesus knew exactly what it was, and he hit him right in the heart. Now, if Jesus had given him any other task to perform, I would be inclined to think, we don't know, we can't change the past, and I'm just a man, I don't know, but I would venture to think that if the Lord had given him another task, he might have performed it. If the Lord had told him to give a portion, maybe he would have been willing to part with that. He might have waited out. If the Lord had told him some physical labor to do, I wonder if perhaps he might have been willing to put in the time. But the Lord asked him to give all that he had. He didn't ask that of everybody else, but he asked it of this young man. And by the Bible's declaration, the young man went away sorrowful, for he was very rich. That was the one thing that he could not live without. Now, I said that there would be three examples and there would be something in common between the three. And where I would ask you to follow with me to is the book of Psalms, chapter 139. And if you have this passage memorized, you know why I'm taking you there. This is a beautiful, beautiful passage of Scripture. Psalms chapter 139. And in these four verses, it'll tie together all three of those individuals. And I believe and I pray that you'll see where my heart is this morning. Psalms chapter 139, verse 1. The psalmist says, O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, Thou knowest it altogether. Jesus Himself gives a warning in the 12th chapter of Matthew that every idle word that we speak will give account of in judgment, because He, as we read in Psalms 139, knows every idle word that we speak. The psalmist here is declaring a thankfulness unto God for this. Now, the rich young ruler, I feel certain, was not so thankful that the Lord knew exactly what was going to stand between him and faith. In my thoughts, that rich young ruler, when he said, I've kept all these from my youth up. As I said, that could be a long discussion, but I find it hard to believe. I find it hard to believe that a person could go their entire lives and keep the commandments well. It's too easy to break them by our very nature. Yeah. It's way too easy for us to fail on the things that we're supposed to do for God. Of all the things that are... You may resist stealing. You may have never killed anybody. But I dare say that there's not any of us that have at the least bit disrespected our parents, which is one of the commandments that's there that for us to keep. To honor them, and to, I dare say that none of us could say that we've never told a lie. Now you may be able to, but I would be so bold as to say that if you say you've never told a lie, that might be your first one. Every one of us, it's too easy. It is way too easy to break the commandments. And so this rich young ruler would have been happy to be able to present himself to Jesus as something that he was not. And he would have been happy to have stayed behind that wall, behind that picture of who he thought that he was. But the Lord cut right through that and revealed who he was and showed him where his heart was.
Amen.
And the only thing that the rich young ruler had to do then was to let go. I have confidence that if he had have done that very thing, that the Lord would have not only saved his soul, but blessed him so richly through the rest of his life after that, that he would have never regretted it. I can't find where that anybody, historically, biblically, any of you for that matter, can you really truly think at the end of your life that you'll look back and say, I wish I'd have never been saved. No. That rich young ruler clung so much to that wealth, to that money, and it really did nothing for him in the long run. I would bet that on his deathbed, he'd have given it all away to be able to leave this world in peace. And the reason that I can say that with such confidence is because Jesus told us about another rich man that opened his eyes in torments, and he would have given everything he had, not just for another chance, but for one drop of water.
Yeah.
He declared that wealth did nothing for him. So I'm confident that that rich young ruler regretted later the decision that he made. But if he had have trusted Jesus that day, he not only would have been saved, he would have never regretted it. It would have been the best thing he'd ever done. But Jesus knew exactly who he was and where he stood. He knew the woman at the well before he ever met with her that day. He knew Nathanael, and whatever powerful testimony that that vision of the fig tree was, it cut to his heart. And the thing that I would say to you that the psalmist was saying here is that we can find comfort, or we can find great alarm in the fact that Jesus knows us. He knows you. He knows everything about you. He knows exactly what you're thinking right now. He knows exactly what you were thinking before you came to church this morning, what you'll do this afternoon. He knows what's on your mind right now as you sit in His church house with the opportunity and the time to worship and to praise Him and to focus on His goodness and grace. He knows right now what's in your heart and what your plans are for next week and what you did a year ago. Yeah. Now the glorious thing about that, the good thing about that, is to know that He loves you in spite of that. And I praise Him and thank Him for grace, because He knows me better than I know myself, and I'm pretty disappointed in myself most of the time, if not all the time. And to think that He loves me in spite of me is one of the most amazing things. Amen. And I want to be like Nathanael and take that knowledge that He knows me and loves me anyway and declare, "Thou art the Son of God," and praise His name. And I want to do like Paul and not frustrate the grace of God, because Paul realized he was a sinner. Paul knew all the weaknesses and the troubles that he said. And he said, "I do not frustrate the grace of God," because if you do, if you resist, If you get emburdened by your own sins, you can miss out on doing so much for the Lord, because He can cleanse, He can forgive, and He can give us a work to do within the kingdom that will bring honor and glory unto His name. But I fear so often that myself and so many others will do like the rich young ruler, and will cling to try to hide of ourselves, and will refuse the grace that comes from the Lord. Are you one today that when you realize, when the preacher says Jesus knows you, do you long for a closer relationship with Him by that? Does that bring comfort unto your heart and peace within your soul? Do you think about the fact that Jesus dwells within your heart? He can walk around and see the things you love. He can look within your mind and know the things that matter most to you. When you realize that and you see that on the pages of the Bible, does it bring peace to you, and does it draw you closer to Him in repentance? Or do you shrink from that? Does it only cause you shame to know that Jesus can speak things to you that no one else can, that He knows things about you that you cannot hide? Does that make you want to flee from Him and turn away? I tell you now, I promise you on the authority of the Word of God, you cannot run far enough to hide from Him.
Amen.
There is not enough darkness in the world to hide your sins from the light that is Jesus Christ. There's not somewhere that you can go that you can escape His love either. You can resist the Lord, and you can resist unto your own damnation. You can flee from the Lord. He won't save you against your will. You can fight the will of God and refuse the blessings of God, and you can bring destruction and trouble unto your life. Or you can recognize that Jesus Christ knows everything about you and understand that He's the best of friends that you can possibly have. I learned that a long time ago too. We have lots of friends in our lives, but the best of friends are the ones that know how broken we are, that know all the problems that we have, that have just see everything wrong with us, and still sit right beside of us and love us anyway. That Jesus is closer than the closest friends. Loves us more than our brothers and sisters. More than any family bond can ever be. Understand that today. Seek a closer walk with Him. You stand revealed before Him anyway. So invite Him in and let Him embrace you and wash away those sins. and stand together with the Lord Jesus Christ for all eternity. If Brother Tony and sisters get a good song, we can sing together. I would hope that the message would work in your heart, that you could feel God with us here today and understand Him dwelling within you, and as He's calling out unto you, that you would not resist, but that it would bring you closer to Him. The Lord knows you. He knows me. He knows me. He knows you. Seek Him today.